You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. As a licensed private investigator and certified instructor in nonviolent crisis intervention, with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field. I will bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Having escorted thousands of teens to specialized schools and programs, returned hundreds of runaways, and retrieved many abducted children, I bring a unique outlook on what our kids are going through and what can be done to help them thrive. And if that doesn't work, how you can survive. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and international parental abduction. We will introduce you to specialized schools and treatment programs that can really help. Joining us today is Rick Johnson, executive director and a founder of Summit Preparatory School in Kalispell, Montana. Rick began his career as an outpatient adolescent therapist, and his experience led him to reconsider how best to serve adolescents when outpatient care provides too little and long-term inpatient treatment seems too extreme. Rick has his MSW in clinical social work and bachelor's degrees in psychology and philosophy. But the most important thing I learned about Rick was that where most people put long bios of their accomplishments, I found a beautiful story of a man that loves his wife, Jan, and their two daughters. I learned that they've taken family trips to Canada, Mexico, and the West Coast, that he exposes his daughters to shells, dinosaur eggs, and fossils, and that he is constantly exposing them to new and exciting things and doing it together as a family. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's great to be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm really happy to have you, and I got to tell you, it hit me very close to my heart. I love the fact that where most people put the bios, that I really felt like I got to learn a lot about you, how you feel about your family, and I got to believe that that translates into the way in which you work with kids.
Well, thank you. I mean, obviously, family's extremely important to me, and you know, and certainly as it is to all of the parents of all of the students we serve.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about the history and vision of Summit Preparatory School.
Okay. Summit really was first envisioned back in undergraduate school. You know, back in college, my roommate of all 4 years, you know, a very, very dear friend, we had been volunteering on a local crisis line. We had been volunteering at a children's home, and we were both psych majors. And you know, you can sometimes have those 2 a.m. talks in college that's sort of hard to replicate. And we actually had one of those, and we said it would be great if at some point in our lives we could do something together for kids. And I went into clinical social work, you know, and ended up I started first as an outpatient adolescent therapist. And you know, and then ran a number of hospital-based programs and psychiatric hospitals. And he went into a business. And oh gosh, about 10 years ago, it was actually at his birthday party. You know, we were talking about why don't we now do something together with kids? And you know, and at that point, I had learned more about therapeutic boarding schools, and I said, why don't we start a nonprofit therapeutic boarding school? And Summit is the result of that. And in really thinking about, you know, about how we were going to design it, you know, I obviously looked at my my own background, and while I was very, very proud of the work that I had done and our staff had done in both inpatient and outpatient settings, I found something else seemed to be going on with adolescents that didn't seem to fit the medical model. You know, it wasn't so much a pathology that you could diagnose, but something seemed to be going on in their overall global functioning that went beyond symptoms, you know, or even specific problems. And so, you know, in really looking at the kids we had worked with, noticed that a lot of promising kids were struggling, you know, and seemed to really be spiraling down in their lives. They were failing in school. They were certainly getting into fights with their parents, using drugs. They were becoming more and more belligerent, and along with being belligerent, truly unhappy. And they were starting to act out in some fairly dangerous, out-of-control ways. You know, seeing kids run away multiple times, getting into physical fights, having frequent unprotected sex, certainly getting into drugs and alcohol, but sort of an overall sense of globally losing a sense of optimism and direction in their life. So when it came time for myself and the other founders, including my college roommate, who I have to say his name's Alex Habib, you know, a very, very dear friend. Mm-hmm. You know, when we sat down, myself, my wife Jan, Alex, and also Mark Hostetter, the founders, we knew that we wanted to not only treat psychiatric and emotional and addiction issues, we knew we wanted to really address what this global problem was. And in really looking at it and really sort of diving back into the research, we discovered it wasn't pathology. It was really the struggle to grow up. That's what these kids were struggling with. So we really looked at the clinical literature and compared it to my experiences working with kids. And it really became clear that these were kids, you know, who were really stuck in the midst of growing up, and they couldn't get themselves unstuck, so they were spiraling down instead of growing up.
Well Rick, so, I was going to say, do you have a theory on what got us to this point? In other words, you're talking about it from a global standpoint. I mean, what's your theory as to what we have done as a society, or I mean, as a world, to get to this point?
I actually think, you know, there's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And I think what is meant by that is that it takes a group of really compassionate folks to surround that child who care about them, but who also hold them accountable for their behavior. And I think creating that village is just becoming more and more difficult in today's society. I think those opportunities for adolescents, you know, to really have caring adults who are willing to also follow through with, you know, helping them learn how to incorporate structure in their life, I think that's, you know, that's something that is just a lot more difficult for families to actually create for their child.
All right. So, I mean, is this then something, because we're now in sort of a second or third generation of anonymity, where people are going to the big cities and really don't have the, you know, the grandparents around, the aunts, the uncles, or even just the close friends?
You know, certainly part of it's that. I also, though, think that our society has gotten so much faster. I mean, things, we actually live in sound bites now. Kids, live at such a fast pace that just the opportunity to, as it were, slow down and actually form relationships, with adults, even meaningful relationships with peers, we don't take the time for that anymore.
Well, are you trying to say that having 4,000 friends on Facebook is not true friendship?
Well, no, that's actually not the same thing. I actually think our electronic society, as it were, has also created difficulties in kids in forming a sense of identity. Mm-hmm. Adolescents early on, literally, they don't separate their identity from that of their friends, you know, which is why you actually think about telephone, you know, kids always being on the phone. You'll have an adolescent who will spend all day with his friends, and then as soon as they get home, they have to get back on the phone with them. And that's because early on in adolescent development, they don't separate their identity from that of their peers. You know, they don't know if they like a movie until they ask their friends, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And in this current electronic age, they literally never have to be out of touch. Adolescents will sleep with their phones, mm-hmm. so they can IM friends at 2:30 in the morning. So they never have to be out of touch. They never are sort of challenged to develop their own identity. And so I also think that is having a definite effect on adolescent development.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. Now, when you were mentioning about the history and vision, you mentioned about being a nonprofit. How was establishing Summit as a nonprofit school critical to your vision?
It was actually critical for our vision because we actually wanted to create an organization by actually picking board members who actually had the kind of experience we were looking for in actually building a program. So, we have a child and an adolescent psychiatrist, Dr. Jeffrey Borenstein from Manhattan. We have a family therapist from the San Diego area. We have the president of a college on our board. We actually have a local high school principal on too. We also have an alumni parent of one of our graduates on the board. So our focus is, can truly be, we don't have to worry about dividends. We don't have to worry about those sorts of things. We can focus on what resources do we have and what kind of a program do we want to provide these kids? And so that's actually been a very important component of our mission.
Well, I like what you said. You seem to have a very diverse level of input, which I think is very important in this day and age. So
thank you. Yep. That's been invaluable for us. And it's also been really marvelous to have the parent of an alumni too, who can actually, who actually saw it as a parent and saw it through their child's eyes, and is really now has been very helpful as we make improvements in what we offer.
All right. Well, we talked a little bit about the history and vision. Tell us a little bit about the school as it is today.
Summit Preparatory School really has three different components to it, and these components are really designed to provide a balance of relationships and structure for kids, which is really, that proper balance of relationships and structure truly is the bedrock of what promotes maturity. And so we have a fully accredited high school. We are accredited both regionally and through the state of Montana, and all of our teachers, they are certified in the areas that they teach, and they also love working with adolescents in a therapeutic setting. This is what mm-hmm. they've chosen. We also have our clinical staff. Our medical director is a child and adolescent psychiatrist. Our clinical director is a doctoral psychologist, and all of our therapists are licensed master's or PhD level therapists, and again each therapist serves a caseload of typically no more than 10 students, so we have a very very high staff to student ratio. And then the third component of our program is our residential program, where we have bachelor's level senior house parents who actually work with students 24 hours a day, and this is what creates that village, that team that we have that really helps surround these kids, and helps them develop the maturity skills they need in life to be successful. And part of this is also, you know, connecting with kids. It's why we have so many activities. And our staff don't just watch kids doing things. They actually do things with kids. That's how you form connections. You're not just supervising kids. You're out there with them. You're hiking with them. You're camping with them. You're playing basketball with them. You're swimming with them. That's how you connect with the kids. So you'll actually see on our campus a lot of things going on with staff student interactions. Playing sports. We actually have a full size gym and a full size pool, and we have an art room and a fully equipped science lab and a dark room, and we're on 500 acres, so we have miles of hiking trails, and all of that was really done to help promote those relationships with students across all of these areas of their life.
Well, and that takes it back to the initial thing I said with the first introduction, and that is the fact that you have this type of relationship with your family and you recognize how important that is. It appears that it's now been transferred over to the way in which you're having your staff deal with the kids. In other words, they're working with them. They're not just observing them, which is the same thing we try to tell parents. You need to be working with them and gaining things at the same level in which they are. And you know what? I just thought of something. If you can give the email, not the email address, the website, for those of you, not those of you that are driving, okay? Just those of you that are seated at a desk, you can keep this window open. You can open up a new window and go to this website.
And it's www.summitprepschool, that's one word, .org.
Right.
www.summitprepschool.org.
Right. And you can be, at the same time in which Rick is talking about it, you can be looking at the pages that he's talking about. You can see the fact that they're on over 500 acres. This is interactive radio. You can get right on there. You can look at the site and see the things that he's talking about. Now I know you were just talking a little bit about the academics of it. Let's talk a little bit about the therapeutic component.
Sure. Our therapy extends much beyond just the walls of the therapist office. Certainly each student has individual therapy, traditional in the office, but therapy extends throughout everything a kid does. Our therapists are involved with students in all aspects of their life. We actually have what we call challenge trips, where we actually take kids out, and actually go camping. Go out into the wilderness. Sometimes for 3 to 4 days, sometimes for 7 to 10 days. And not only are the senior house parents and a teacher involved with that, but the therapists are also involved with that. So therapy is, happens throughout that child's day, and the focus of therapy is really, again, twofold. It's certainly on addressing if they have emotional problems, or if they're struggling with any psychological or psychiatric issues. It's certainly focused on that, because there's certainly quality of life issues, and it can also be very hard to actually focus on developing maturity skills, if you have those issues going on. But therapy also focuses globally on helping them learn how to mature, learn the skills they need to know in order to be successful as adults.
All right. Well, let me also, I want to always make sure that I get listener questions in. I've got a couple of listener questions. They're fairly long, so bear with me.
So
these came in over the through our email. It came in over the internet, and for everybody out there, know that we really appreciate these questions. keep them coming in. If you have questions before they're going to be on, we'll ask them while the people are on. If you have questions afterwards, you have the option to either go to their website or their phone number and ask them directly, or you can send them in to us by going to Answers for the Family. That's Answers, the numeral for thefamily.com. You can go to the blog and you can ask questions, or you can just make comments, and we love your comments. So our first question is, says, I have a 15-year-old sophomore daughter who is so perfectionistic in, I'm not even sure that's a word, in all she does academically, and then in parentheses, honor classes, athletically, and it says varsity tennis team and varsity letter. But she is starting to display emotional struggles with her peers. She seems to struggle between continuing to excel and fitting in with a group of much less motivated kids. I don't want her to experience burnout nor have a mental breakdown. What do you recommend, and who should we turn to?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously without knowing further details, you know, I obviously cannot give the kind of answer I would like to, but certainly it really sounds like she is in the midst of really struggling for her own identity.
Yes.
And, you know, and it sounds like she's actually getting some of that through her academic and sports success, but also sort of vacillating with, possibly getting her identity, or at least drifting towards getting her identity also with kids who are not so, successful. So I would say in a situation like that, it really is a matter of helping her feel support, mm-hmm. from her family, and also I mentioned earlier having that a sense of village, actually feeling more global support, and sort of finding ways of actually helping her connect with the folks where she can be more herself. You know, she doesn't have to be just the star,
right.
nor does she have to, as it were, identify with kids who are not doing quite as well. It's a matter of helping her connect with a group, with a family, with possibly a church or social group, someone mm-hmm. where she can really feel like she can be herself, and that's okay.
Right. Yeah, I sort of envision it as that issue that we've seen before, which is somebody feeling as if they have to sort of dumb down to fit in, because they're gaining some level of ridicule for being, such a great achiever. And I agree with you, get her connected with the people that really truly appreciate the fact that she's a great achiever. Help build her self-esteem to feel good about it rather than be in a situation to where you are somehow embarrassed by it.
Right. Well, that, and probably also, being with folks that let her not always have to be the one who achieves. Because it actually sounds like she's sort of trapped in an either or. She either feels like she has to succeed 100% and be a marvelous star, or she has to be a part of a group who doesn't succeed at all. And it's sort of a matter of her feeling that she has permission to excel, but she doesn't always have to be perfect.
Okay. Now, does this sound like the type of student that you would have?
We certainly have kids like this. Kids can actually stall, developmentally in many ways, and sometimes kids can stall by being overly perfectionistic and really pushing that until they can't maintain that any longer, and then can spiral down. So, you know, certainly we have certainly seen those dynamics in some of our students.
All right. Well, and why don't you share with us, I mean, what is the typical student that is a good fit for your program?
Typical students, you know, we obviously serve kids who have mood issues, depression, anxiety, bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
We also certainly serve, you know, a number of kids who have had trauma reactions. You know, certainly kids who are also dealing with substance abuse issues. And something in common for most of these kids is that, again, as I've mentioned several times, there's been sort of a global disruption of their ability to move forward. You know, and obviously the issues that I've mentioned play a big part of this. But there's sort of a global being stuck. You know, they're actually spiraling down instead of growing up. So those are the types of kids that we serve.
All right. Well, that sort of leads us back to where we were at a little bit ago, which was the therapeutic component. Is there anything you'd like to add in regards to that?
Well, I actually think that a big component to what we do from a therapeutic standpoint is helping that child, really learn what the key maturity skills are in their life. And we've actually boiled them down to four primary skills. And I don't know if I have time, but if I could, I'd like to share those quickly. First one really being the ability to self-soothe. And what I mean by this is the ability to keep one's internal anxiety in check. I mean, we can reassure yourself when frustrated by not getting what you want, so you can deliberate on a course of action. Mm-hmm. Instead of just acting on impulse. And this is something that many adolescents have a huge difficulty doing. They just can't handle structure or limits. And when they're frustrated, they either act rashly to try to avoid those limits, or they melt down, you know, and it can be in a temper tantrum, or it can be through withdrawing socially. We've also certainly seen kids who have school phobia. You know, they literally withdraw to the point where they can't even get out the door in the morning. And so part of the therapeutic work is to really, it starts off with really helping them learn how to self-soothe. And this is something that like all psychosocial skills, which is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. It's psychological skills learned in a social setting, it's learned within relationships. So a lot of the therapeutic process is involved in helping the adolescent learn how to trust staff enough to be willing to be supported by them and learning how to deal with frustration.
Well, Rick,
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned about structure and boundaries, but isn't it true that in many situations that same child that was rebelling against all of that, that once they are in a program setting, that there's a sense of relief that they don't have to make all those decisions?
Absolutely. There's, you know, they can actually settle in and they don't have all of that anxiety.
Right,
you know,
right.
They're not faced with all of those fears, and a lot of students learn how to settle in and learn how to actually accept support again in a setting such as ours.
Yep. Okay, and you said there were four of them, and by the way, you mentioned about time. Don't worry, we've got plenty of time. The show is yours.
All right. Well, you know, really starting with the ability to self-soothe. That's really the first one. And an important thing that I want to point out that we actually talk with all of our parents about, and we talk with all of our staff about, is that this begins with just tolerating it. Kids do not start off appreciating structure. Kids do not start off sort of saying this is a positive thing. It literally starts off with being able to tolerate. We measure this early on by, you know, are they settling in? You know, are they having meltdowns, or are they having fewer meltdowns? You know, are they able to actually get up and go to school? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, can they they tolerate it, and it starts with being able to tolerate. And actually, one of my favorite examples of this is from a Jennifer Aniston movie with Vince Vaughn, and I think it was called the Breakup. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the movie, but one of the previews struck me where Jennifer Aniston says something to Vince Vaughn that so many parents I think have said something similar to their kids. Mm-hmm. When she says, "I don't want you to just do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes." And Vince looks at her and says, "Why would I want to do the dishes?"
Exactly.
Well, that's where kids start. You know, I mean, kids, you actually have to, I mean, they actually begin by learning how to tolerate structure. They actually learn that they can actually handle frustration enough to actually tolerate structure. And when they're able to do that, they truly start to work on the second skill, and that's the ability to form meaningful relationships with others. And I don't mean that they don't have relationships with others prior to this, but a lot of times prior to this, those relationships can be really selfish, you know, mm-hmm. and people are treated as objects and you know, to be, as it were, put in the corner when they're no longer in use. You know, you might as well be a broom. When I'm done with you, I'm done with you. And for most parents, they can probably say, "It's, you know, yes, I'm the ATM."
Right.
You know, when they want money, but other than that, but when an adolescent is able to focus beyond just immediate gratification, you know, by being able to self-soothe, other people start to mean more to them than just their functions. And you know, this is actually a very important skill. You know, and programmatically for us, this is one of the reasons why we have so many things that our staff do directly with students is to really form those relationships. And then through that, we actually see kids start to explore their life more. You know, they actually start to because of relationships with staff, they actually start to try new things. You know, and another great example of that, which we see fairly frequently, is we'll have an adolescent who has maybe struggled academically,
mm-hmm.
and it's a history class, for instance, and you know, and we are now studying the Civil War, and they're doing marvelous. And prior to that, you know, they were getting D's and F's, and you sit down with that student and you say, you know, "You must really love the Civil War. It must be such an exciting topic for you." And what they'll tell you is they will say, "Well, not really. I like the teacher."
There you go.
And that right there tells you that you're starting to see that change. You know, they're actually now willing to start to do things because of relationships with others, okay? And that's actually a very important switch, because then from that, you know, this is where the third skill that we actually focus on from a therapeutic standpoint is when, because of their identification with others, they start to incorporate similar ways of thinking and behaving with those who they identify with. And if that's positive identifications, you know, they actually start to then incorporate some of that structure, you know, incorporate values, you know, from those they identify with into their own identity. You know, and this is really for an adolescent, and there's, you know, a lot of folks talk about adolescents that the primary task is being forming an identity, and this is where it begins. It begins with identifying with others. And so from a programmatic standpoint, we certainly encourage that identification, you know, with staff and you know, and also obviously more advanced students, and really helping propel them forward. And also one of the things that at this point we would really be looking for that child, that adolescent, to start to be a positive leader and role model within the school community as they begin to learn how to incorporate, as it were, structure into their own life. And then finally, you know, I've already mentioned that adolescents really begin to form identity through identifying with others, and that early on, adolescents can have difficulty sort of separating their own values and opinions from others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's sort of a group mind. You know, and adolescents sort of think like that's a group. And obviously, the problem with that is that if the group changes, you know, if they go off to college, mm-hmm. and the group changes, their sense of identity isn't fixed enough yet. You know, can also be too dependent upon the group they're with. So really, the last important stage that we actually focus on at Summit is to be able to develop an independent identity. You know, is to really learn how to have your own values and your own own beliefs apart from others. And again, you know, this is hard for an adolescent because up to this point, they actually have that sense that the only, you know, that I have to be connected to you, and that's where I get my identity from. And if I think differently from you, I can no longer be connected with you. Which is also why I think a lot of adolescents sort of have to make a break with their. I don't think they have to, but end up making a break with their parents for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's that all or nothing thinking that. You know, if I actually connect with my parents, you know, I'm going to end up being just like them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they end up distancing parents. But anyway, what they have to, the primary skill that allows an adolescent to remain connected to others, but yet still develop their own identity is empathy. You know, this is a really important skill, and it's certainly an important skill for an adolescent in regards mm-hmm. to learning how to deal with others and have meaningful relationships in life. But it's crucial to identity formation because empathy is the ability to understand and connect with another person who's different from yourself. If an adolescent can truly experience this, they can choose to be different from others. Including family, you know, they don't have to be just like their family, but they can actually choose to be different from others and have their own personal values and goals in life without sacrificing meaningful connections with others, and that is a huge skill.
I was going to say that
a college student, can actually tell friends, no, I can't go out tonight. I have to study for a test. Without feeling like he's betraying those friends,
right?
And that's a huge skill,
right? Which is
which
is the same skill that we need them to have when they're in high school and their friends say, "Let's go out behind the bungalows to smoke a joint."
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. You know, it's the skill that actually allows a child or allows an adolescent, allows a young adult to be strong enough to say, "Yeah, I care about you." You know, and mean it, but
right.
I choose not to do this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
this is not right for me, and that's a very important skill because adolescents have to feel connected, and it's empathy that allows that connection without them feeling like I have to be just like you, to be connected to you.
Okay,
so we actually spend a lot of time on that. You know, throughout our program. You know, really helping kids learn empathy, really help, you know, introducing kids to, you know, people who, you know, have different beliefs, have different social, economic backgrounds, but, and also, you know, having them learn about kids who come from all over the country and connecting with, you know, and realizing I can connect with others, and really care about them without having to be identical to them.
Right, Rick, we have about 10 minutes, but what I'd like to do, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I'd like to ask you, how do you convert that structure that they learn from their, you know, to have with their staff to the parents, and also I'd like you to give us a couple of success stories of telling us a little bit about how somebody came in to you and how they left you. You're listening to Answers for the Family. That's Answers, the numeral for thefamily.com for your questions, your comments, and we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back. We're talking with Rick Johnson of Summit Preparatory School. And the question we left it with was, how do you convert that structure that your staff sets up with these kids to the parents?
Sure. Well, actually, parents are part of this all the way through. That's a key part to this is that parents are the ones who actually are part of this, and that starts with helping parents understand what is going on with their child, and then obviously involving them as much as we possibly can in their child's life. And I think one of the crucial things that we really want to help parents understand is that what really, and I know I've already mentioned this, but what really helps promote maturity is a balance of relationships and structure. And this is huge for parents, because there's actually a fair amount out there about the importance of relationships, mm-hmm. and the importance of being a mentor and role models in an adolescent's life. And then the flip side, there's a lot out there about logical consequences to an adolescent's behavior and how important that is. But it's really a matter of helping parents recognize that it's a balance of both. Many times with parents, you can have one parent who is the good cop and focuses on relationships, another parent who's the bad cop and focuses on structure, and they end up in conflict.
Yep.
It's really a matter of helping parents recognize it's not one or the other. It's a matter of you actually give structure to an adolescent out of caring for them. And caring for them does not mean that you rescue them from that structure. If you rescue them from that structure, they'll never learn how to tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also not a matter of being punitive and just trying to, teach them a lesson and say, we're going to give you this huge consequence to teach you a lesson. It's really helping parents learn how to balance relationships and structure in their life and in how they respond to their child. And part of that is also helping them, as it were, recognize where their child is at developmentally. If their child is really sort of dealing with learning how to self-soothe, it's a matter of them learning how to early on in the process,
mm-hmm.
be recognizing, well, the first step is that they can actually tolerate this. They're not going to incorporate this into their life yet. And so giving parents the tools they need to actually understand adolescent development and how to support where their child is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge part of this as well. And I also think that another really important thing for parents to understand is the fact that the actual skills I've just talked about, are not learned just once in a person's life. This is really a cycle, and any major life change really causes someone to have to rework those skills. And obviously, adolescence is a huge life change, but having an adolescent is a huge life change too.
That's right.
And so, you know, so in talking with parents, guess what? You know, you're going to struggle with your ability to self-soothe at times. And guess what? It's going to affect your relationships with other people. Don't be surprised if you find yourself short or having difficulties connecting. And guess what? It's going to also affect your ability to structure your own life. You're going to find that you're going to have trouble concentrating at times at the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so parents go through a very similar cycle, and helping parents recognize that and especially find support with other parents can be a very important part of this process too. It's why I'm such an advocate for parent support groups.
And
having parents really learn that they're not alone and to recognize what it is they're going through. It's a process for them too. You know, so that they can be emotionally equipped, to also help their child in this process.
Right. Well, in fact, and I believe that over the last 20 years, aftercare is one of the best additions to any sort of therapeutic situation. Having aftercare so that the parents are involved, because I mean, going back 30 years ago when I started picking up runaways, and they would go to programs and they would end up back home, and way too many times, a couple months later, I was out looking for the same child. So yes,
the aftercare is great. Yes, at Summit, they actually spend, about almost 6 months developing their aftercare plan, and literally they develop it, negotiating it with parents and obviously with staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to come to our directors meetings and defend it, similar to defending a master's thesis, in order for us to work with them so that everything mm-hmm. is in place for them to keep moving forward in life. After Summit, and obviously a huge part of that's family, but also having, most of them have an outpatient therapist. Some of them are linked with AA or NA, for a kid. Really making sure that they have what they need set up to keep going in their life.
All right. Well,
very crucial.
We're running short of time. We're at about 3.5 minutes right now left. I do like to close with a success story, but I have another listener question that I want to get in. And this one says, my 14-year-old son puts a tremendous amount of pressure on himself. We are looking into a private school catering to gifted students in the art realm. With the increasing demands of school workload, extracurricular activities, and peer pressure, it's extremely overwhelming, and my son doesn't have any free time to engage in social activities. I notice he is withdrawing from his peers and us. They use the term institution. I'm just reading it. Offer any consultation with a therapist or help guide us on types of therapy or programs? And now, before you answer that, understand, we just got a couple of minutes. If you can give a quick answer, and if it's just to go to your website for more information, that's fine, because I want you to have enough time to end with a success story.
Well, certainly our admissions office, can also provide some assistance in helping parents. I also think that educational consultants are a marvelous resource. Most of our students have worked with educational consultants and really helping them sort through, even if it's local resources. What resources are available? So, they can certainly call us at 406-758-8113 and talk with our admissions office, but I would also advise them to look in their area. for a good educational consultant.
Right. And in fact, again, if you go to our website and submit the question, we do get quite a few questions like that. And what we do is we find you an educational consultant. We send out a letter that goes to the educational consultant that copies you, the person sending in the question, that says, you know, this is someone who's in your area. You're now copied with each other's information. Hopefully you can get together and make the right decision. We've got about 45 seconds. Can you give me a quick success story?
All right. Child, after having been hospitalized several times for suicidal ideation and family conflict and failing in school, came to us, worked through those issues, and actually graduates from college next year.
All right. Rick, I want to thank you. This has been very enlightening.
Thank you, Alan.
Very glad to have you on here. Everybody that's out there, stay tuned for the world of TJ McCormick. We'll be coming up next. And I want to leave you with this thought. Unless the investment in children is made, all of humanity's most fundamental long-term problems will remain fundamental long-term problems. Have a great day.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.